Amen. He is the one true God that we worship this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to take them out and to find with me the book of 1 John. It's where we have been looking at for the last several Sundays as we walk through this book of the Bible together. 1 John, this morning we will be looking at the second chapter and beginning in verse number 3 in just a few moments. How many of you have ever been in a class where either the teacher or the professor usually has a test, and there's usually a trick question on the test? Anybody been there? A trick question. You know, sometimes there are trick questions, and we have to be careful about those types of questions. Well, I have a few of those to share with you this morning as we get started. And I can guarantee you the answers to these questions are accurate because I asked Siri. Okay, so here's the trick questions. How long did the 100-year war last? Does anybody know? 116 years. All right, the 100-year war lasted 116 years. Trick question. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? I'm looking over here. Does anybody know? It's not October. November, right? November. You should have known that. November. Russians celebrate the October Revolution in November. Trick question. The Canary Islands in the Pacific are named after what animal? Not canaries, that's right. They're named after dogs. Yeah, you should know that. Good information for trivia day. What was King George VI's first name? Not George, that's right. His name was Albert. I thought you would have known that. But number 5, where are Chinese gooseberries from? Ask Siri, and she'll tell you they're from New Zealand. So you thought they were from China. Last question, what is the color of the black box in a commercial airplane? There you go. I heard that one. Bright orange. Yes. Yes, that's right. Trick questions. All of these are trick questions. Well, the good news is this morning, the test that I'm going to give you this morning is not a trick. The test that I'm going to give you this morning is not a trick. And I believe that if you will look at this passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, and if you will consider what John is saying to us, I believe that you will see clearly a test of the proof of your love or commitment to God. That's what this passage of Scripture is all about. I want you to see that John presents for us 3 tests of our love for God in this great passage. And these proofs are not just tests, but they're also assurances. We just sang the song, Blessed Assurance, and we need some assurances from time to time on whether or not we are truly saved. And I think that these proofs are assurances that we are truly saved. And so with that in mind, let's look at this passage of Scripture together this morning and use it as a checklist for our hearts. If you have a copy of God's Word, let me invite you to stand with me in honor of reading His Word this morning. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the assurances that you give to us of our salvation. God, I pray that this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that, Lord, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, God, that we would use this passage as a checklist for our hearts. That we would check, God, our love, our commitment to you as we read and as we study this passage together. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you would help me to decrease so that Christ can increase as we speak and as we hear from you today. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated. If you have your notes that are inside of your bulletin, you'll see that there are 3 points, 3 tests of our love for God. Number one, the first test of our love for God is obeying God's word. It's being obedient to God's word. Verse number 3 begins, John says there in that passage of Scripture, and by this we know that we have come to know him. John states that the case here with extreme certainty. He says here, he doesn't say we hope, it doesn't say that we think, he doesn't say that we wish, but he says we can know for sure that we are saved. We can know for sure that we are walking with God. The words there, we know, means to continually perceive something by us experience. And he's saying here that assurance comes from obeying God's commandments in Scripture. And those who fail to do so will always wonder if they are converted and the Holy Spirit is truly leading them. Now, as I mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, John was writing to address a false teaching that was known as Gnosticism. And Gnosticism had an idea of mystical or hidden knowledge. And so when John is writing this passage of Scripture and he says here that we can know, that we have come to know him, he is not referring here to the knowledge of the Gnostics. He's not referring here to the rationalistic knowledge of Greek philosophy or the experiential knowledge of hedonism. No, he is referring to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that comes from being in a right relationship with him. That's the kind of knowledge that he is referring to here. And John's point there is that if we are going to be truly followers of Jesus Christ, then that means that we are obedient to him. John chapter 3, he says, or John chapter 2, verse 3, he says this. Here's how we can know him. If we keep his commandments. Here's how we can know that we have come to know him. Underline it, circle it, highlight it, whatever you need to do. Here's the first test. If we keep his commandments. Now, you can flip that around and look at it from the opposite direction. And that is, Paul emphasizes in the book of Titus the difference between false knowledge and true knowledge. Look what the Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. He says, they profess to know God. These are those who are not really saved. He says, they profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Pretty clear, isn't it? It's pretty clear what John is saying to us as followers of Jesus Christ. If we're going to know Him, that we must also keep His commandments. Verse 4, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. John had a nickname. Him and his brother James were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. I think you can see why they were nicknamed that, can't you? I mean, he doesn't mince words there in verse number 4. He basically says, hey, if you say one thing and you do another, you are liars and the truth is not in you. This verse proves the point. John boldly exposes the danger of self-deception. He boldly exposes the danger of self-deception concerning salvation. Plainly, those in God's kingdom, those who have been born again, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, they hear God's voice and they obey it. They hear God's voice and they obey it. In sharp contrast, those who do not obey His commands, those who do not obey His word, demonstrate that the truth is not in them. Again, John's writing to a group of people that were being infiltrated by Gnostics, this false teaching. And these Gnostics taught that their so-called knowledge elevated them above earthly matters. They elevated them to a point where it was unnecessary for them to obey moral conduct or godly living. And John is writing to them and he's saying, no, that is not the case. You must obey the words of God. He says in verse number 5, this, whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. And so you see the difference there. Verse 4, he says, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandment, is a liar. The truth is not in him. And then on the other side of that, whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. We talked last week about walking in the light. And I believe that one of the steps, one of the ideas behind walking in the light is this. Those who walk in the light obey God's word. Those who walk in the light obey God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, we read this last week. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my, what? My path. That's more than just a slogan on a coffee mug. It's more than just something you write in a card that you send to someone. No, that phrase, that statement in Psalm 119 should be that what drives us, should be what controls us, should be what leads us as we make decisions in our lives. To walk in the light means that we are spending daily in God's Word. Listen, how can we know what God wants us to do? How can we be obedient to God's Word if we're not regularly spending time in God's Word? Seems like I keep coming back to this whole idea of spending time in God's Word. As we spend time in God's Word, God speaks to us and we see Him and we understand Him, and then we are able to obey Him. And Moses said something very similar to this. This wasn't completely new to the people that John was writing to. Listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. He said, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You see, I think a lot of times people, Christians, people in general, a lot of times people like to pick and choose the commands of God that they want to obey. They like to pick and choose the commands of God that they want to obey or they want to follow after. But if you read this passage of Scripture that we just talked here about, and he talks about keeping his commandments, this passage in Deuteronomy, to walk in part of his way, no, to walk in all of his ways, we can't pick and choose those commands that we are going to follow. We must look at God's Word and follow all of the commands that God has given to us in his Word. That's the first test of our obedience. You know, I think there are three motives for people's obedience. Think about this for a moment. There are three motives for people's obedience. We obey because we have to, because we need to, or because we want to. Would you agree with that statement? We obey because either we have to, we need to, or we want to. Let me just break that down for you a little bit. A prisoner obeys because he has to. If he doesn't obey, then he knows that he will be punished. An employee obeys because he needs to. He may not enjoy his job, but he enjoys the paycheck. And he needs to feed his family and put clothes and put a house over there for them to live in. And so he obeys. He does what he needs to do because he needs to. But a Christian obeys his Heavenly Father because he wants to. He wants to. His relationship between him and God is a relationship that's based on love, and that love is exhibited, that love is demonstrated in his obedience. What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 15? Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said that, John 14, verse 15. Let me just bring it down a little bit closer to home. Think about children for a moment. Children kind of develop in stages. At first, children obey because we have to. Children obey because we have to. And if we don't obey, there's usually some punishment that comes along. And, you know, when I was growing up, that usually involved a belt. So we obey because there's punishment. We obey because we have to. And then as we grow older, as we get more mature, children obey because they need to. They sense the reward. They sense the enjoyment of it. They need to. But then, as you become more adult, more older, as you become older, the reality is the maturity results in obedience because we want to. It's an obedience that comes out of love. So that's what John is telling us here. He's reminding us that those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the first test of love, the first test of commitment, the first test of assurance is obedience to the Word of God. And so check your own heart this morning. Are you following the Word of God? Are you obeying what God's Word says to you in your life this morning? The second test, the second proof of our love for God is following the example of Jesus. Following the example of Jesus. Look at verse 6. He says at the end of verse 5, actually, at the end of verse 5, he says, "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So another proof of our love is by following the example of Jesus. Now let me be clear. Nobody becomes a Christian by following Christ's example. But once we are a part of God's family, we are to look to Jesus Christ as the one example of the kind of life that we should be living. Amen? We should look to the Lord Jesus Christ as an example of how we should live, how we should treat others, how we should interact with individuals, and how we should follow Him. Listen, He says we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, we are to purify ourselves even as He is pure. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, He that does righteousness is righteous even as He is righteous. And so walking in the light means living here on earth the way that Jesus lived, where He was here, and the way that He would have us to live in our daily lives. And this has extreme practical application for us today. This has extreme practical application. For example, what should a believer do when another believer sins against him? What should a believer do when another believer sins against him? And the answer is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The answer is, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, so you should forgive others. Christ is our example of forgiveness. Walking in the light, following the example of Christ, has effect upon the home. Husbands are instructed in Ephesians chapter 5 to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Husbands are supposed to care for their wives, even as the Lord cares for the church, no matter what area of life it may be. Our responsibility is to do exactly what Jesus has called us to do and set the example for us. Verse number 6, as you read that verse, if you know anything at all about the scriptures, and if you know anything about John, there should be a light bulb that kind of goes off in your head. Let me just ask this question. What other book of the Bible did John write? The Gospel of John, right? See, y'all are bright. Y'all are really bright this morning. I want you to go back to John chapter 15. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse 6, again, of the one we just read, says, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. John said in John's Gospel, as he's writing this and he's hearing what Jesus said, here's what he says. Jesus is speaking and Jesus says this: I am the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and in Him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. But if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Listen to what he says. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. See the connection there? John says in 1 John chapter 2, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And he reminds us in John chapter 15 of the illustration of the vine and the branches to describe what it looks like to abide in him. Just as the branch gets its life by remaining in contact with the vine, so believers receive their strength by maintaining a right fellowship with God. I know many of you probably remember the WWJD bracelets. You remember those? I remember those back, I guess it was sometime in the 80s. We would have those WWJD bracelets, and WWJD reminded us of the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" And we're supposed to ask that question throughout our day. We're supposed to ask that question as we're going about our business of our day. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this person? How would Jesus respond to this situation? What would Jesus do? And I think that's what John is saying here in this verse. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so the test of our love for Jesus Christ, our test for our love for God, should be, do we obey God's word? And second of all, do we follow the example of Jesus Christ? But there's one more that I want you to see, and that is this. It's our love for one another. It's our love for one another. If you remember, when we began this series together, I mentioned that there are three themes that run throughout the entire book. And those three themes are life and light and love. And this is the first time in the book that we're going to see John addressing love. It's not the last time. He's going to do it over again. But listen to what he says very carefully in verse number 7. He says, "Behold, our beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." So there's three things here about loving one another. First of all, love is an old commandment. This is nothing new, John says. You have heard this from the very beginning. Loving others should not be something new. John's readers would have heard this commandment before. For example, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I know Leviticus is a great devotional book that you read often. But there are some great truths in Leviticus. And listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 19. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people." That's your neighbors. "But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The readers of John's letter, they knew that. They had heard that taught. They had heard that preached. They knew that scripture. They knew this commandment. And probably, maybe, they had even heard John's gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see, it was a commandment that they had heard before. But John says this in verse number 8. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you." So the second point there is it's a new commandment. And you're reading this and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, is John getting senile? I mean, in verse number 7, he says, this is an old commandment. And then in verse number 8, he says, this is a new commandment. So which is it? And the answer is both. The answer is both. Here's the key. The new commandment that he's given him, its newness is not found in the words, but in the illustration of the words. You see, the new commandment that he has given to them has been clearly manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. In the Old Testament, yeah, they gave them a commandment. They gave them a commandment in Leviticus and other places, you shall love your neighbor. But here in the New Testament, he says, this new commandment that I'm giving to you, this new commandment has been clearly demonstrated by King Jesus. He says, which is true, look at verse 8, at the same time it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. One writer said it this way, the newness is not in the command to love, but in the perfect manifestation of love in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord wonderfully illustrated this truth in the upper room on the night before he was to be crucified, just hours before his death, when Jesus Christ himself humbly displayed his love by washing the disciples' feet. Jesus displayed his love as he bent down and washed every single one of those disciples' feet, including Judas, who was about to betray him. His love was then exploded whenever he goes to the cross and he willingly lays his life down for us. You see, his love, this new commandment, has been manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. And John says, if you want to know whether or not you are a true believer in Christ, if you want to know whether or not you are a true follower of Jesus, then check your love. Check your love for one another. Skip on down to the next verse. Third point I want you to see is this. Love is a way of life. Love is a way of life. Verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. What's John saying is pretty clear, isn't it? John is saying this, it is a meaningless boast for someone to say that he is in the light if he harbors hatred in his heart for another brother in the Lord. I can't get much clearer than that. On the other hand, he says, those who love his brother, those who truly love his brother abide in the light and there is no stumbling, there is no room for sin. Those who love and obey God's word and express a selfless love to fellow believers are truly transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not going to cause others to fall. They are not going to cause others to stumble. John is emphatic in this passage of Scripture. He is emphatic. He is saying this, anyone who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. Such people do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded their eyes. You see, friends, here's the bottom line. John is writing to a group of believers. How do you know that? He starts out verse 7 by calling them his beloved. He's writing to this group of believers, and here's what he is telling them. Here's what he's telling us this morning. In the church of Jesus Christ, there should not be any hate towards anyone else. And if we are going to be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we are to have love for one another. Y'all are quiet. I thought that's a good place to say amen. God, my goodness. If we're going to have love for one another, if we're going to see true Christianity on display, then it's going to be an example of love for one another. Listen, this world that's around us, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's enough hate out there that doesn't need to be brought into the church. When we come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a place where we are to love one another. Yes, there are going to be differences. Yes, there's going to be maybe even differences of opinion. Imagine that. But we still should have love for one another. Thank you, brother. Just think for a moment. What a difference. What a difference the world would be if every church that calls themselves a followers of Jesus Christ, if every church was truly a church that loved one another. I believe that we wouldn't be able to pack this place, get enough people in here. If people could see that and witness that and observe that, what a difference it would make in our world. Well, there's an old hymn. We used to sing this quite often, my church growing up. It's a hymn that you probably know. It's called Trust and Obey, written by John Samus. Listen to the first verse and the refrain to this hymn. He says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I believe that John would have liked that song. I believe that the Apostle John, I think he would have liked that song because I believe he would have agreed with its message. You see, to trust Him, to truly trust Him, you must first know Him. That's what he talks here in the first chapter. We know Him as the Word of life. We know Him as the eternal life. We know Him as the Son of the Father in whom there is no darkness at all. We know Him as the cleanser and the forgiver of our sins. We know Him as our advocate and our atonement. That's what he says in chapter 1. And as we come to know Him, we trust Him. And when you trust somebody, it's a whole lot easier to obey them. When you trust someone, it's a whole lot easier to obey them. And so all of this comes together. We know God. We come to know Him as our Savior. We come to know Him as our friend, our advocate. As we know Him more and more, we trust Him more and more. And that trust leads to obedience. And when we follow Jesus and we obey Jesus, I believe we will experience the happiness of knowing Jesus that will truly be for His glory and for no other glory. The test is clear. There's no tricks. There's no trick questions. Just look at that test this morning. Are you obeying God's Word? Are you following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life? And are you loving one another? Let's pray. Father, we gather together today and we thank You for Your Word. Lord, sometimes it can be difficult to read Your Word and, Lord, to apply it. Sometimes, God, it can be hurtful. Sometimes, Lord, it can step on our toes and make us uncomfortable. But, God, when that happens, we know that Your Spirit is speaking to us. So, Father, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters that are here today who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that You would help us to look at that list, to look at those tests, and help us, God, to see, God, whether we have a true love for Jesus. God, are we obeying You? God, are we following You? God, are we loving one another as You've commanded us to love in Your Word? God, I pray that right now as we prepare to sing this final song, I pray, God, that you would speak to us. Help us, God, to respond in whatever way that you want us to respond. God, if you want us to, someone here to be saved this morning, to follow Jesus Christ for the very first time, maybe that's how they need to be obedient. God, if you're calling someone here to follow you and believer's baptism, possibly that's how they need to be obedient. God, if there's somebody here who is harboring hatred or bitterness in their heart towards another brother or sister, then God, maybe that is how you want us to respond, to just go to that person, seek forgiveness, to restore that relationship. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us right now. Help us, God, to respond to you and to your word by your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's